Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
This is the artist formerly known as Daryl Van Horn, James Mitchell, the Sinister Minister, and I'm here to let you know I would rather slam my cock in a car door than to miss the dulcet tones of Hard Body Harper, my illegitimate son, on Booking the Territory Podcast.
Who messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh yeah.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, where today we are covering WCW Saturday Night on TBS from October the 10th, 1992. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hit like and subscribe to the channel, and also make a comment or two. Those pesky algorithms like that sort of thing, and it helps the YouTube channel grow. It also makes Harper very, very, very happy when you do that. And before I throw it to Harper and Crockett and ask how they are doing, big time shout out to Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassie, Mike Childry, Joe Ice, and good old Justin. Thank you for your generous support on Patreon each and every month, and for being the largest sponsors of this show. Crockett, you're back this week, and Doc won't be back next week. I got to find a fill-in for you because Doc is still going to be out. But how are you, man?
Yeah. I'm living. A very weak Jimmy Jam impression this week because that's the way I'm feeling right now. But I'm doing all right. I won't be able to join you next week, and the BTT Army rejoices.
No, they don't. They really love you. They really love you. You're like their favorite fill-in. Maybe I'll have to call on the Transformer Sparks or someone like that to fill in with Harper and I. But you are a valuable member of the JV Goon Squad. That's for damn sure.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Harper, what's up? How are you?
Uh-oh.
Oh, God, no. We did not lose him just like that.
We had him on like 10 minutes ago. He said, hey, and then dropped off. We got him back. He cursed out his laptop that you bought him, and now it's apparently happened again.
All right. We're going to have to see where this goes tonight because he is still showing on, and I'm going to make an assumption that it's just locked up or something because he said his Skype just dropped. Yep, and he just drops. So that ain't good. I'm almost wanting to tell him, and you ought to, this would be hilarious if this is what happened. With Harper, sometimes you got to like walk him through, like, all right, uninstall Skype, reinstall. That is like trying to, it's like trying to teach an infant, like, you know, algebra.
Trigonometry, yeah.
Yeah, like it's just, it's like talking to somebody who doesn't, there he is. They did it again.
I did it again, dude.
You know what you need to do?
What?
I don't know if we're going to make it through the show tonight, but here's what I'd recommend. If it's, so is Skype just shutting down?
Yeah, it's like, dude, fuck off, bro.
Yeah, so when I say shut down, the call isn't dropping, just the whole Skype program is shutting down.
Well, it just goes brump, and then it goes back to like the, you know, to the title screen.
So, like, my first recommendation, what'd you say, Crockett?
It logs you off.
Yeah.
My recommendation, you're not going to like this. Uninstall Skype and reinstall it.
Bruh.
I'm not check for updates.
Yeah. Right? I'm not going through that again.
So we're gonna play this game all night.
Yeah, we're gonna try to do this at another time. I'll have to walk you through it because I think that's what. I don't want to say that's what the problem is because you just never know. But I just in my IT experience, and I'm not an IT person. That's the first thing I would do with a program, which is a pain in the ass.
Something died in here.
In your computer?
No, in this fucking room, dude.
What's it smell like?
Like a dead animal.
Why don't you go find the animal and tell us what it is?
That would be. It's gotta be fucking in the wall, bro.
Oh my god.
Yeah, cause Saturday I fucking woke up and go to work, right? And I was like, man, it kind of smells rough. I was like, maybe I was just ripping them, right? So I was like, whatever. And then I come back and Tiffany's like, man, the room really stinks. And I was like, oh god. And I open up the fucking bedroom door, dude, and it almost knocked me off my feet, bro. Like, something is dead in here.
And it's in the wall.
It's gotta be, bro, because I kind of looked around and looked under the bed and looked in all the dressers. It's not in the closet, because the closet, you know, it's this big walk-in closet and it smells fine. It's just, it's actual, like, in the bedroom, bro. And
what if it's in the air duct?
Oh, fuck. I didn't think about, bro, this is like aliens.
No, serious, like... You know, if there's a big old rat that got in there and died, like, and it's just,
fuck,
you know, that,
think of that, bro,
the AC like, gets turned on and it just starts blowing that funk right on your ass.
Oh, you're an asshole.
I'm just saying, like, that that could be it.
If I open up the window just a crack, I mean, you don't smell it. But I closed it just now, but I'm like, god damn, it's still fucking, you can still smell a fucking hint of it.
Bro, turn the AC on and stick your nose in that vent and then see what comes out.
Because I sniffed all, like, under the bed, in the dressers, in the pile of dirty clothes. No, bro. It's not there.
Oh, man.
What the fuck, bro?
Wow. Who do you call for that?
Fucking nobody, bro.
Exterminator? Yeah, I mean... What do you do?
I mean, if you got a dead rat in the wall, I mean, what are you going to do?
Right. Eventually it'll decompose.
Right. That's what I told Tiffany. It's like, just wait about 3 or 4 days until it, you know, until it turns into a skeleton.
Get one of those clean plugins.
Dude, yeah, which.
I don't think that's going to work, bro.
No, it's not going to do it.
Like, that'll be just enough just to piss me off. Bro, I remember one time when I was a kid. In the backyard, I found the fucking bird skull. I guess it was from a dead bird. And I thought I found the fucking fossil. I thought I found a fucking dinosaur. And I ran in the house with it. And my mom's like, get that out of here, that's a bird. I was like, that's a dinosaur. That's a fucking dead fucking bird.
That's great.
Oh, I got a dead possum in my backyard a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah?
In the spring, yeah. Apparently, it like sought cover in the winter and then just died.
Yeah, I didn't think they possums go that far up north.
Oh, yeah, they're all over the place, man.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a mess. Maggots and all that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, it was...
In the backyard?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it was.
Meanwhile, fun. Harper thought he found a baby pterodactyl fossil.
I thought I found a fucking dinosaur. I'm like, look at this. You could, when you're like fucking 8 years old, your fucking imagination bleeds whatever, right?
Yeah.
I thought I found a fucking dinosaur. I'm like, look at this shit on Chastain Street in Metairie. I found a fucking dinosaur.
Oh, man. Well. Speaking of dinosaurs, Crockett, you were talking to me about the what's that? The Hall of Fame this year, the WWE Hall of Fame class so far as we record this. Got any thoughts?
Yeah, we got 4 people so far. They announced Paul Heyman. They kicked it off with, I know it's Philadelphia. Seems like an odd choice. Usually, you know, the big name is what you lead off with when you're announcing the Hall of Fame. And I don't know if Paul Heyman's a big enough name to, I guess, are they not? The Hall of Fame now is just the same crowd from SmackDown, right?
Fuck.
Harper's room is thinking. Yeah, they do it after SmackDown on Friday night.
So they don't have to sell tickets anymore. So, okay. So now they don't have to really push that like they used to. But yeah, Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, Muhammad Ali was just announced the other day, and the U.S. Express, which was a shocker for me and probably everyone else. I mean, Heyman is, of course, deserving. Nakano was a bright spot in the, you know, very small women's division in WWF in the early 90s. Muhammad Ali, I understand, you know, the prestige of the name, plus WrestleMania 1. And then there's the U.S. Express. I mean, my take on that is that it's basically a way to get Mike Rotunda in without putting in IRS. But what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, and the funny part is WWE disrespected a lot of wrestlers in the 80s and 90s with these weird names. But like, I think of Barry Windham, and I think of just the stupid gimmicks he had in WWF. You know, like, what was it, the Stalker and the Widowmaker? And
the Widowmaker wasn't bad.
I don't know. I mean, it's bad after you see Barry tear crap up and Crockett and the NWA and WCW. Like, that's what I'm basing it off of when I like say that.
Well, according to them, no one ever seen that before.
Well, yeah, of course. Right.
No one knows Ric Flair. Who the fuck is that?
But I will say this. Like, I dug the U.S. Express when they were a team, like back then. I kind of liked them, but at the end of the day, I mean, to me, Barry Windham was a whole lot better in the Crockett days and whatnot. But yeah, I guess that's the way to get Rotunda in there. But I'll give them a pass. Look, they have worse. I don't even say worse people. Like, I think they're both worthy, but I always say this too about the WWE Hall of Fame, and we've talked about it over the years here, Crockett. It's not real. Like, you look at some of the people they do have in there, it's like, okay, this is not a brick and mortar Hall of Fame. This was at one time just Vince's version of a quote unquote sports entertainment Hall of Fame. So I could see what you're saying by like, it's a weird team when you think about it. Because, I mean, as we've always talked about, there's also no Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express in there. So I think they are deserving of any wrestling Hall of Fame. But Heyman deserves it for sure. And I guess they announced that because it was Philly. I don't know. I haven't read a ton about it. But he definitely deserves it.
Well, you know, Hogan's music was supposed to originally be theirs.
Yeah, for the U.S. Express. Yeah. But they kind of bailed out right before they were.
Yeah.
Did they use it at all?
I don't think they did. If they did, it was very short.
Yeah. Right. It was very short, and it wasn't maybe never made TV, or it was just a local, you know, house show type stuff.
And meanwhile, Demolition's not in.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, their Hall of Fame has a lot of flaws, if you want to call it a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's just, I guess one day they'll have like an actual, kind of like their version of like Canon, Ohio, huh? You think?
I mean, they got enough. Yeah, they got enough resources to certainly do it. It's just one of those things where, again, it's a Hall of Fame in name at this point because it's not really a brick and mortar building, but they certainly could have one if they wanted one.
It has to be in New York, wouldn't you think? It's got to be.
Connecticut.
No, dude, I think it'll be in fucking New York.
I mean, I heard rumors like way back when, like on Universal City Walk or whatever. They'll find some place for it. They've teased it before. I don't know if it'd be in Connecticut or New York, because all their operations are basically out of that performance center. So probably I would think it'd be something down there.
Well, that's true too. I mean, you could do it in. I mean, if you're playing, Florida. If you're gonna play the benefit from better tax laws for businesses.
Oh yeah.
I think you'd go to Florida for something like that. Texas is very friendly to business taxes because they ram us up the ass with our personal property taxes. But they wouldn't do it in Texas. That was just me getting a dig in on the wonderful state of Texas that rams us up the ass with property taxes. Well,
the fucking smell, bro.
Where is it?
When I opened the window, I was like, bam, there it is, dude. Her pile of fucking clothes that I am not touching, bro.
Wait. A pile of clothes?
Well, I got my little basket with my dirty clothes, right?
Okay.
And she has one too. And it's in that area.
And there's a dead animal in somewhere. Something, in that basket.
Bruh. I'm scared.
Harper's like, listen, Harper's supposed to be the man of the house. And he's like, I'm not touching it. I'm letting her deal with
it. I'll have one of those like things from like Aliens. It beeps, and the dot gets closer and closer to me.
Fantastic. Oh, man.
Move it out the hallway or something.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. Oh, my God. Living the dream, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Crockett, any other thoughts on the Hall of Fame?
No, I think that's it. I think they need some sort of major wrestling star. I don't know who's left, but I think they need something more. Somebody like, there's no major current or recent wrestling star going in yet. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you consider Heyman like the headliner at this point?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe still, that's not who they're thinking of.
I guess he's not a wrestler. I don't know.
What about Shane Douglas? In that area, huh? They could put a Hitman there.
Just dress him up like he's dressed up in Saturday Night on 92, what we're doing, right? That we can be a country music star. Yeah, I don't know. We still got... Look, we're recording this on March 12th. So, I mean, there's still several weeks to go of them to announce others if they are going to announce more. So, I guess we'll see. But, yeah, at this point, I mean, Heyman is the one thing I've seen speculated is like, well, who inducts Heyman?
Would it be CM Punk?
I mean, I don't know who it is, but there's so many people that could do it.
But would it be great if Cornette did it?
that ain't going to happen, but that would be funny.
That would be a surprise.
Yeah, that would be a surprise. I mean, he's inducted someone, but he inducted the Rock and Roll, but...
Yeah.
You know, that would be... Cornette's a hell of a speaker, so that would go over well. But I don't know, man. Doc is always telling me about how, I don't make fun of Heyman, but every time I see Heyman on TV these days, I'm like, man, he needs to lose weight. You know, I don't want the man to peel over and die, like, or anything, man. It's like, he's just so out of shape. And Doc's like, you ought to hear what Corny says about him. Corny calls him a walrus and a buffalo, and he's like calling him all sort of names. So,
I saw there's a T-shirt online, a Paul Heyman Hall of Fame T-shirt, just with his like mug on the front, looking like freaking the Penguin, just unbelievable. Who's gonna buy that shirt?
I've been watching SmackDown a lot, and his facial expressions are priceless. Like, he's so damn good. So damn good. I mean, even beyond the promos, just he scores without the ball. Like, he's just standing there, and then he makes these faces when he's terrified. He's so great. Just always has been, though. I mean, even back during this era, he's great. So, but yeah. Real quick, before we get too much further in and we start the review portion, remember, if you submit a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Podcast Attic, I will read it on air. Those 5-star reviews, that is. So please submit one on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Attic. And then one new patron this week, Bill B. Thanks for signing up and becoming an annual patron. Greatly appreciated. And if you want to be like Bill and you want to get Halloween Havoc coming up in a few weeks, Halloween Havoc 92, that is. We're already in 92 for getting to the end of 92. Go to tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. That is tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. A great way to support the show and get tons of extra content. Over 400 Patreon exclusive shows are available there on Patreon. I am going to... Crockett, you got anything else before we jump into the episode? I'm going to share my screen, and then I'm going to start the video version of the show. But anything else before we get into October the 10th?
No, let's get into it.
All right. Well, this show is joined in progress in... This is the first half of the taping that took place on October the 5th of 1992. So they taped this a few days before. Some additional notes from the history of WWE.com is this. Prior to the taping, WCW TV champion Scott Steiner had a backstage argument with Bill Watts, resulting in Steiner being taken off of all the booking sheets for the immediate future. And also for the record, just so we're aware, Scott does work in Japan a couple of times in November, and there will be footage of him shown next year on Saturday night with him in action. But based on my records that I was able to look up, he doesn't do any more WCW TV tapings or shows in the States at this point. He's basically done. Again, although we'll see tape footage of him, but he is pretty much done. So to that, I say, good job, Bill Watts. You're running off not only Scott Steiner, but one of your money tag teams. What a goof Bill Watts can be. I just don't get it, running off a top flight tag team like this. You treat Arn and Bobby bad, and you're like, nope, got nothing. Now, I'm sure there's two sides to it. You know, Scott Steiner may have threatened to kill him and do something else. Who knows what the argument was about? But yeah, they're done. Well, he's done, and contract is coming due soon as well, or be over soon. So there's that. Any thoughts on what I just said, Crockett or Harper?
No.
Yeah, crazy, I think they were asked to take a pay cut too.
This time. Oh, fuck that. So
that was part of it.
That's in line with everyone during this era, though.
Like, right.
There's nobody who's not being asked to take a cut in pay. Matter of fact, we're going to get into it.
How much? They don't say.
Well,
like everyone that they're offering $750 a week and $250 in bonuses.
So that's a grand, right?
Yeah.
Arn. Well, no. Well, $750 a week would total up to about $3,000 a month.
Yeah. But
Arn specifically said when he talks about the era, his pay was cut in half.
Damn. That's fucking rough.
Can you imagine? And in Arn's case, like he said, look, I already just came from WWF. Right, like, he's like, I already burned a bridge. Like, what? You know, I've got no leverage. Like, so what am I supposed to do? And we're going to talk about that. What Arn eventually does at a later date in an angle he does with Eric Watts, and how Arn was pretty smart. Let me just leave it at that.
He's got a wife and kids too.
Yeah.
He can't just be like corny and say, go fuck yourself.
Right. Well, and Crockett, I didn't realize it was that low. Like, $750 a week.
Specifically for the stock. I saw that somewhere. I'm trying to find it now and I don't see it. I don't know if that was specifically for the Steiners or just that was the general what they're offering people.
They would get bonused if they worked a certain amount of dates in a month. I read whether it was 500 for the month or 1,000. I can't remember the dollar amount, but it was like if you wrestled 20 times in a month, something like that. I think some of them would get bonused in that way, which you could get to 20 relatively easy, I would think. I mean, that's just, you know, 20 days out of a month. You got 30 days in most days.
What about the contracts, though?
Yeah, so they're going through this. I'm going to just call it like the Watts Great Awakening here. Like, so as contracts are coming due, people are being asked to take pay cuts, and
damn, dude,
it's just not a lot of happy campers. And I don't, you know, I've never seen all the contracts during this era. I don't know if guys were really that overpaid as much as the business just wasn't bringing in the money it had in the past. Like, it's easy for us to say, come on, just pay Arn. Come on, just pay Bobby. Come on, just pay the Steiners. But if the balance sheet is in the red, like, you know, we're being critical, but, you know, if we ran a business and the balance sheet was in the red too, we'd probably be trying to look where we could make some cuts as well. So it's kind of
that, man. Just sell the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason Watts is there is to cut costs. That's his
whole... which is unfair.
He gets paid more for like how much money he saves them, right? So it's like that's what he's doing. He's trying to make money by taking away their money, basically.
That's what some people claim.
But that's like a cop. It's like the more tickets you write, the more you get paid.
Yeah. Right. You're incentivizing the wrong thing.
Right.
Because at that point, your job isn't to, you know, your job is to, in the instance of the cop, is to, you know, make sure nobody's breaking a law. But you just take business into your own hands and you're like, well, if you're going to pay me an extra $50 every ticket I write and I'm only making $50,000 a year, I'll make sure I write 10 tickets a day.
Yeah.
I'll make extra $500 a day. It's like, whoa, hold on, you know, cowboy, anybody saying all that? So it's just that you're incentivizing someone to do the wrong thing in that instance. And that was always my feeling about Watts. But again, and here's the part of it. I think I've said this before. It's not just one wrestler. Like, there's a lot of wrestlers complaining at this time. So, you know, if you got 10 guys complaining about the same thing, it might be that thing that's the problem and not the 10 guys.
Yeah.
I found it here. I found the details of the Steiners. Apparently, the money offered on a 2-year deal, which is the $750 base pay and $250 bonus pay per night, and Watts is willing to guarantee a minimum of 250 dates per year. So the contract in writing guarantees $187,500 pending 4 successful performance reviews. Is basically a $250,000 deal, and it's a cut from the estimated $300,000 they made.
Damn.
So they were being asked to cut. Yeah, they were being asked to $50,000 pay cut. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, look, they were making a lot of money. You know, 180 something is still a lot of money in 93-92, but I mean,
well, I'll take that tomorrow. I'll take that right. 2 seconds from now.
For real. But if it is a $50,000 pay cut, again, I think Arn said like his pay was cut in half.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, on with the show. They do join the show in progress, and Crockett and I did some research. We're not sure what cut into it. The Braves did play the Pirates in game 4 of the NLCS that day, going up 3-1.
Ooh, that was good shit, dude.
Right, it was.
Bro, Sid Brain, bro, sliding in.
That was so good. That was a hell of a series. But this did not air.
Bro, had like a batting average of like 2 fucking 10. He just steps up and bam, and he hits the fucking single. And comes Sid Brain slide in, bro. That shit was like fucking watching Major League or something.
It was good stuff. I remember that series really, really well. It wasn't on TBS, though. And
no, it was on that CBS. Game
was on CBS. So Crockett and I don't know why the first few minutes of this show were cut off. And if you know, you can DM Harper. But here's the thing. Yeah. I can tell you that one important thing we missed when the intro was cut off was that they announced there would be 2 refs for the Rick Rude and Masahiro Chono match at Halloween Havoc. And then there was a Sting match against an enhancement talent that cut off. And then from there, we see the Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton match versus Dave Diamond and Pez Watley that we saw the last minute or two of, really minute at that. But Crockett, you spent like 6 hours today trying to find out what cut off the first part of the show.
Right, yeah. It wasn't Braves. It wasn't the Hawks. They didn't start till November 2nd, I believe. It wasn't NASCAR. So, yeah, I was just spinning my wheels, literally, just trying to figure out what this was. I wanted to bring this to the show, but I failed you. I have nothing.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
Come on. I mean, can we do a little bit better next time you're standing in for Doc, please?
Yeah, I know. Get Sparks in here next week.
Well, so that's what happened, and we didn't really miss too much outside of the 2 ref announcement for Halloween Havoc with Rude and Chono. From there, we are going to go to a Bill Watts promo. Let's hear from Bill Watts and see what the tyrannical boss himself has to say. Here it is.
That match. Just what do we mean by that designation? How did it all get started? In the late 60s and early 70s, probably the most innovative and progressive promotion.
real quick, he's talking about a lights out match. That's the part that got cut off at the very beginning. So I'll hit continue.
Promoter in wrestling was Eddie Graham of Florida. He was one of the staunch supporters of the National Wrestling Alliance and a member of its board of directors. As the oldest and most prestigious wrestling association, its members were very conservative in that era, and their events were considered as sanctioned by the NWA. As with every type of event that competed for the entertainment dollar, participants were always pushing the parameters to accelerate the excitement level. Athletic creativity and intense personal rivalries sought newer and more potentially dangerous concepts to culminate their showdowns. From cage matches, then in Texas was born the Texas Death Match. Then Boris Malenko created the Russian Chain Match. Then Dusty Rhodes invented the Bull Rope Match. In Tennessee, someone invented the Coal Miner's Glove Match, the Scaffold Match, and somewhere else, the First Blood Match. Each of these new events more exciting and more dangerous. The NWA as a body did not want to officially be a party to or to sanction these type of matches. Thus, Eddie Graham devised the Lights Out Match, which very simply is this. No, the match is not wrestled in the dark. It was just a symbolic turning off momentarily of the arena lights at the end of the officially sanctioned card to signify the end of that card and to immediately turn the lights back on and have the unofficial or unsanctioned bout, thus the term lights out match. Now with Jake the Snake versus Sting, again we have new parameters. All of the most dangerous of these type of bouts, plus one not even revealed called the spinner's choice, have been placed upon a wheel of chance and called spin the wheel, make the deal. Because of this, WCW has designated it a lights-out match, a match not sanctioned by WCW. Because of the spinner's choice possibility, we're going one step further. We are having Jake the Snake and Sting sign a waiver absolving WCW of any liability. They assume all responsibility. They spin the wheel and make the deal.
All right. So I thought actually, look, we called it down the middle here. I thought Watts was really good there explaining the history of a lights out match and the guys needing to sign a waiver and all that good stuff. Crockett, do you have thoughts?
No, yeah. I mean, maybe a little slightly long-winded, but
yeah.
I'm glad that's the last we're going to hear of Bill Watts tonight.
Right.
That's nice.
However, you got any thoughts before I play the next clip?
I stopped listening when I heard conservative. Oh my just, God.
Why would you trigger somebody, man? You and Doc are the worst. Y'all know what y'all are doing. Jesus, why do y'all do that? My inbox lights up. Even when I say
Americans, as I sit in joke. My kitchen, I'm a mother of three.
We hear you.
It was like when Doc
immigrants come in and they kill that.
Oh come on, Harper.
I'm in my kitchen and I'm not cooking anything. I'm just sitting here.
Remember when Ron Simmons won the title and Doc said, "Yeah, we got to get some DEI action in here." Jesus Christ, my email inbox was full of people. You tell that motherfucker. I'm like, can you people not take a joke? He does
mean
it.
You people.
Yeah, he what does do you mean it. You people?
The highly offended crowd.
Oh.
Which is like, it's actually a small amount of people, but they're the most vocal. I'm like, I even said it when he said that statement. I go, you know, he's just trying to trigger y'all. And sure enough, he triggered him. Oh.
You tell that some bitch that DEI is.
Wait, why is that the accent you use?
Because that's how I read it coming from the person. Like,
God damn, son of a bitch. You tell that son of a bitch. If he don't like it, he can leave.
Love it or leave
it. Don't run.
Oh, my God. Well, let's go now to another clip from Watts and Jim Ross.
Wait, what? And,
you know, Watts likes to hear himself talk, so here it is.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Ross back with Cowboy Bill Watts here on WCW Saturday Night. In just a few moments, we'll have the contract signing, a rather unique situation involving Jake the Snake Roberts, who is joining us. We expect Sting to be joining us momentarily as well, Bill Watts.
Well, that's right. Of course, we've explained our position on this lights out match. Spin the wheel, make the deal.
that we want them both to sign a contract absolving WCW from any liability for this match.
The Stinger making his way here to our area. And Bill, at this point, I think I'll turn the festivities over to you. I think the contract's rather self-explanatory.
Well, it certainly is. Again, both of you understand. You've pushed the parameters. You've come up with a concept. You have an issue you want to settle. There's all these different matches, plus there's one match that you have yet to reveal the stipulations, the spinner's choice. So therefore, we're telling you that you have to both sign this waiver of liability. You're releasing WCW and everybody else from any liability for anything that happens, and spin the wheel, make the deal at Halloween Havoc.
Anybody have any questions or comments regarding this situation, Sting?
I have absolutely no problems with signing a waiver, and I have no problems with any of the matches on the wheel. Remember something, Jake, the wheel spins for both of us, not just one of us.
Get ready, Sting. Get really ready. Because you have no idea what you're stepping into. You look at that one, and what does it tell you? What does it tell you? Spinner's choice. Doesn't that create a little doubt in your mind? Doesn't it? It should.
I got no problems with any mystery matches, whatever you have. It doesn't matter to me. And by the way, Jake, you better concentrate on one thing. Don't let your mouth override your butt, pal. Think about that. You're the one that should be thinking at this point, maybe.
All right. Well, what were you guys signed the waiver, and what they're talking about, of course, is the Spinner's Choice match is a match that Jake Roberts has devised that's put under the Spinner's Choice. And if when the wheel spins, it comes up on Spinner's Choice, then Sting has to wrestle him in that kind of match. And since none of that's been revealed at this time, we want the waiver absolving us from any liability, and that's what they're signing now.
All right, so they go ahead and sign it. Nothing else happens. And I kept thinking while I'm watching this, like, I thought something was going to happen, but nothing happened. There's a table out there, so I was waiting for somebody to fall through it or something. I don't know. Crockett, your thoughts?
Seems like they're really tipping their hand with the Spinner's Choice thing, aren't they?
Just a bit?
They're just talking about it so much. I mean, that's got to be what happens, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
there's no reason it could be anything else, right? They're teasing the hell out of this Spinner's Choice.
I like the two snakes on the side of it. It looks like something from like a fucking He-Man display from Toys R Us for the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like the all-new Snake Mountain this Christmas.
I don't see the snakes.
You see it to the right of Sting? It was right next to Sting. You didn't see it?
No.
You could see it. You could see it real good when Jake comes out. You see it? There it is.
Crockett. Oh, okay. Now it's okay. Okay, it's on the ground. Okay.
Yeah, it's on the ground.
What do you think that thing's made out of?
Styrofoam. Foam. Foam.
Probably. Yeah. Plaster. Wow. Something.
Something very light.
Still, hanging around the wheel. You think it's in some? They should have that on at fucking WWE Treasures. They got to find the wheel from Halloween Havoc 92.
It makes me wonder where it's at as you say that.
Oh, God. They probably chunked that shit in a dumpster that fucking night, right? Where
probably.
For real.
All right. Well, any other thoughts, Crockett or Hopper, on that long signing segment? We go to Shane Douglas and Robbie Walker versus Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker and Pat Rose in a little tag team action here. Crockett, I guess I'll throw to you. Any thoughts on this match?
I'm very honored to be here for the debut of Hard Work Bobby Walker.
Yeah.
When he was that, Robbie.
But, when he was Robbie, yep.
I don't understand, like, these WCW always at the random tag team matches, the random pairings. It always happens. And why not give the guy a singles win? Why is he in a tag team with Shane Douglas, who they're pushing as like a guy possibly going for the US title? He was talking about the US title last week or the week before. Like, what? Why is he doing a tag? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Help me out.
It's like when you would play the fucking video game, it'll just be like random, like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Honky Tonk Man versus Ultimate Warrior and Jake Roberts.
WrestleFest, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. WrestleFest.
Earthquake and Jake the Snake tag team. Yeah. It's like, why is this random pairing for the guy's debut? Why not give him something to let him shine on his own?
Yeah. So I guess when they started first giving Shane the push, maybe the goal was the singles title. But as I watch this, and as you ask that, I'm thinking, wait, whatever happened with, you know, a lot of guys leaving, Steiners, Jake eventually being out the door, spoiler alert, sorry about that.
Yeah, Williams and Gordy.
Williams and Gordy are, you know, are essentially, well, Williams will be here for a little bit. Gordy's done. This must have been the moment where Watts was like, well, damn, I know I was thinking about, you know, taking Shane and having singles title of some sort, but damn it, I need a tag team. And, you know, spoiler alert, it's going to be him and Steamboat as a tag team. So maybe that's why they threw him in this random tag match. I don't know, but it goes to the point you're saying, Crockett, about how random it is. Now, that wouldn't make much sense because it's like, well, why not just tag him with Steamboat? But I do kind of see what you're saying. But I just named five guys essentially where four of them being tag team guys that are now going to be out the picture. So, you know, I guess they're getting Shane ready now for tag team. I don't know. I mean, and when you got a tyrant like Bill Watts causing problems, you're going to be doing a lot of audibling.
Like Peyton Manning, Omaha.
Bro, there's a whole lot of Omaha going on in WCW in his era. Whole lot of Omaha. So, yeah. But you're right. Hard work, Bobby Walker. I didn't remember him during this time.
No, yeah, I think he comes in as Robbie Walker, then is gone for a moment, and then comes back as Bobby.
Yep.
As Bobby?
Yeah, he goes from Robbie to Bobby.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't remember him during like the Monday night era on Nitro, Hopper? He would do some undercard matches. So yeah, Robbie Walker, but he will be known as Hard Work Bobby Walker in the future. But yeah, I don't remember him being around a long time right here, but I can't. It's been a while. So anyway, we're going to end up with all four guys in the ring. Douglas is going to catch Rose with a belly-to-belly, and Douglas and Walker win by pin. And that was that. Crockett, any other thoughts from this one?
No, we're going to see another random tag team debut later on. But yeah, this one was fine. That's about it.
I'm telling you, man, they're calling audibles, dude.
Yeah, it makes sense what you're saying, that they're losing talent left and right, especially tag teams, and they need to find something that sticks.
Yeah,
just Steiner's done, Gordy and Doc pretty much done. I mean, like, you got to do something, and that's the only thing I can figure. From there, I'm not going to play the audio from this segment, but from there we go to a Cactus Jack and Barbarian training segment. We saw one last week. We're going to see one again this week, and they're actually in, like, the warehouse or the training facility. And I want you to see something as I fast forward this thing. Did you notice, Crockett, when Barbarian is slamming people, and Harper, pay close attention. When Barbarian is being slammed, that was Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. I can't tell who that guy is that just slammed him. Here's another guy who slams him. These are like probably trainees. Look at who that last guy is that slammed Barbarian.
Is that Ice Train?
That is Ice Train. Yep.
That's what I thought I saw. I wasn't sure.
Yep. That is the first sight of Ice Train, I guess, technically in a WCW ring that I can remember. But that is definitely Ice Train, who unfortunately passed away. Me too. Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
Dude, they were badass, man. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could have seen those two in like 1989, 1990. Like, just tossing people around like the Steiners. I mean, they would have been a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
But, yep, that was the first time we've seen Ice Train on WCW TV. So, there you go. All right. From there, we go to Marcus Bagwell versus Paul Lee. I guess I'll throw it to you, Crockett. It's not a terribly long match, but any thoughts on Bagwell versus Nature Boy Paul Lee, who is just a funny-looking fellow if there's ever been one?
Yeah, with the bargain basement Flair robe there.
Look at this dude. Man.
That's like Auburn. A trailer park Ric Flair, dude. That robe. I bet he listens to the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, 100%. What's that robe smell like, Hopper?
Man, cigarettes, spill fucking beer.
Your girl's laundry basket.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you know, I'm glad the Cowboys are winning again. I think they're going to come back.
Oh, my God. Gotta love it. Nature Boy Paul Lee. Dollar Store Ric Flair here versus Bagwell. Any other thoughts, Crockett, before I go to the finish this one?
Not much to it. Yeah.
Yeah, Bagwell actually hits a perfect plex, and he's going to pin Paul Lee, as we will watch right here in a second. It's coming up. And 1, 2, 3. It's over. I didn't really think too much of this, but, you know, I guess you give Bagwell a win here and no harm, no foul. We then get a replay of last week from Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes winning the tag titles out of the blue. So remember this, because this really did come out of nowhere. So it's important to just remember this win just comes out of nowhere. These guys are, you know, now a team to be reckoned with. So just wanted to say that. And then after the replay, we get a promo from WCW Main Event. We got Austin and Pillman. They're out there with Jim Ross. And we have Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham as well. Kind of, I guess they're confronting each other. Here it is.
Boy, that was impressive, Dustin, Barry. We got to take our hats off to you. But I know you guys don't want to be paper champions. I know you're not going to sit on this title. So why don't you put the world titles up against Stunning Steve and Flying Brian next Saturday night?
Well, Brian Pillman, I don't like your change of attitude, Pelly. So you want these belts next Saturday night? This Saturday night, hey, we'll be there. You be there.
All right. Did you see the look Barry shot at Dustin when he accepted?
I did miss that, actually. Yeah.
At the end of it, when Dustin says, "All right, we accepted this Saturday night," and when he says it, Dustin's like, or Barry's like, "What?" He kind of looks at him like, "Are you serious? What's that about?" So again, it's like last week they called an audible to get the belts on them, and this week, right away, we're calling another audible where it's like, oh, we're going to stir up some dissension between these two. It like you could tell it was just fly by night on the spot. Like, we got to do something. And, we're hemorrhaging talent. So let's figure out what we're going to do with these belts and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of attitude changes overnight.
Yeah. All right. From there, we do go to the Halloween Havoc Control Center. There's a Jake Roberts interview. Jake talks about a barbed wire being a great match to have at Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. He hopes it's barbed wire. Then they cut to a promo for Ron Simmons discussing his match with the Barbarian. Then they cut to Rick Rude talking about his match with Chono. And Rude gets to choose one of the refs and who that will be. He says, you'll have to see on the 25th who he chooses. And then Ross then says there will be a rematch for the WCW World Tag Belts. But there won't be, because Gordy won't be there. So there's that. Any thoughts on the control center and any of the promos, the quick promos that they played, Crockett? Because they were very quick.
No, it kind of makes me feel like you were correct that last week's was supposed to air this week. Last week's control center was supposed to air this week. But yeah, something happened. We got that major snafu last week with where they announced the title change before it happened.
Whoops. Yeah, it happens. Whoops.
Hey, Faye, brother.
All right. So from there, we're moving quickly, but we go to another promo. There's a lot of promos in this one, which I don't mind at all. I prefer the shit talking. It's just that these promos are a little bit subdued this week, it seems. We got another promo. Right now we're back at center stage with Brian Pillman and Steve Austin, and they are with Jim Ross. Let's hear what they have to say, talking about the match that should be later tonight.
CW Saturday Night later in the program is scheduled to be the new tag team champions Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes in a non-title event against Stunning Steve Austin and Flying Brian. What are your comments about the non-title status?
We couldn't be more ecstatic. Sure, it's not a title match, but it's the next best thing. It's an opportunity for Stunning Steve and Flying Brian to show Barry and Dustin, the WCW Executive Committee, and the wrestling world, that we're both destined for greatness. And I can't think of a quicker way to cut through the bureaucratic red tape and get that title shot than to come out here live and in Technicolor on national TV and dominate Barry and Dustin from pillar to post and beat them 1, 2, 3.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that match scheduled to come later in the program. Now let's go back up to Rhubarb.
I don't like that it's non-title. What about you, Crockett?
Well, yeah, you never like if it's non-title. But I think it's an interesting choice that we've seen two promos with Austin and Pillman, and Austin hasn't said a word.
I remember it being like that, not often, but enough.
I mean, I know at the beginning Austin has said himself, and I've read that Austin was not happy to be in this role at the beginning.
Right.
He didn't want to do this with Pillman.
Right.
Yeah, I heard the same.
Yeah.
I forget if he says Dusty had told him he was going to get a run with the U.S. title or something at this point.
Right. Yeah, that's what he told him.
Yeah. And, well, that got pulled from under him, and he ends up with Pillman, which, I mean, they were great together. But I could see why he wasn't, you know, happy after being told he was going to get a run with the U.S. title.
Yeah, at this point, it just seems to be like, yeah, you take the mic, brother.
Right. Yeah. A little disgruntled. But he was, I think his initial contract, he said he was making $75 a year.
But yeah.
He's a year in
that,
it. Bro. Right. Yeah. He's over a year in at this point, though, too. All right. So then from there, we go to Scotty Flamingo versus the Z-Man. Can I take a nap while you talk about this, Crockett?
Here comes off the ropes, hip toss. There he is, doing a strut like no one can, Mr. Flamingo.
You talking about Levy here or what? Levy, you go to high school with him?
Oh, fuck yeah. These two, nothing happening, guys. They took the light heavyweight division away, so Scotty Flamingo is languishing. Z-Man doesn't have his tag partner of the week, so he's just existing. And they give these guys 12 fucking minutes and neither of them have anything going on. No ramifications for Halloween Havoc or anything. And it's just fucking, oh my God. It's Armbar City for one. And just, holy, like, by the way, like every match at this point has had like arm work. Watch the monitor and figure out what everyone else is doing and do something else, please. But I have a timestamp at 37:45. I don't know if you have anything before that.
No, let me go to it and see what you got. So hold on 1 second. I'm at 37:37 now. What are we looking for here?
I thought it was like a unique double down. It wasn't like the standard. It's coming back, hitting the ropes. They're just kind of
bonk heads.
That's a little different.
That's Arn Anderson double down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like that. Yeah. I've seen Arn Anderson do that quite a few times. Yeah, that like was...
Like a minute later, there's like a miscommunication in the corner at 38:55. One guy whips the other one into the corner, and they don't know that they're waiting for something to happen, and nothing happens.
Yeah, watch this. I think I had this too.
What?
You could tell something was off. Cause the way Z-Man Irish whips from corner to corner, and then the way he runs in, it's like he's waiting for something that never happens.
He's waiting for a boot or an elbow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt bad. Look, I felt bad for both of these guys because, like, it's just nothing there. It's no other way to say it. But Z-Man is going to go to the top rope, and he's going to hit the missile drop kick, and he's going to beat Flamingo. And my note was wrong guy won, and Mr. No Personality beats Levy. I'm sorry, Flamingo. Levy, what, you go to high school with him up? So, yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, any other thoughts? We've already spoken way too much about it.
Yeah, we really have. But I tell you what, I do have a lot. I don't say a lot, but I think we've been a little hard on this dude that we're about to go to a promo of, but we got to give it a listen because it is Eric Watts. And let's get a little bit about his backstory and all that good stuff. Cause I think the intent here was good. Here it is.
Giovanni, who goes up close with rookie Eric Watts.
With us this week on WCW Up Close is Eric Watts, one of the new young superstars in World Championship Wrestling. Eric comes to us with a great athletic background, high school wrestler, went on to play college football, University of Louisville as quarterback. And during the offseason, we understand Eric spent a lot of time with the young people, volunteering as a coach of amateur wrestling as well. So wrestling was always in your blood, Eric. But, you know, like many of the young athletes we have in World Championship Wrestling, you followed in your father's footsteps. Talking about Dustin Rhodes with Dusty Rhodes, Brad Armstrong with Bob Armstrong, even go back to the Funks, Terry and Dory Funk, with their father, Dory Funk Sr. So wrestling was always in your blood. But being the son of Cowboy Bill Watts, and just like all the other wrestlers, you feel there's a lot of pressure on you?
It's funny you ask that. I've been asked that all through my amateur background. No, I don't feel pressure because I don't try to live up to my father's expectations or anyone else's expectations. What I try to do is I set my own personal goals. That's the only pressure I feel is internal, to be the best I could be, to be the best at whatever I'm participating in, whether academically, athletically. And just like pro wrestling, I'm going to try to be the best Eric Watts can be and let that say enough.
Your first televised match, I was on hand. And how did it feel for you? First time after training so hard to get into the pro ranks, walking through the crowd, a great crowd on hand. Describe that feeling for us.
Yeah, I mean, it was unreal. I mean, emotionally, the adrenaline was just skyrocketing. It was like going out in front of Ohio State in front of 95,000 fans, a sellout crowd. Except for TV, you don't know how many million people are watching you. I don't know if I was nervous. I was anxious. And anxious to get my first win. And that's exactly what I went out and achieved. It felt fantastic.
Okay, Eric, as we take a look at your career, let's talk about you have trained, you have worked out with Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham. They are the unified tag team champions, but many people say, hey, these guys are not seeing eye to eye right now.
Well, I try not to listen to the outside, and all sports people try to perceive things, and they all perceive them differently. I worked out with Dustin. I worked out with Barry, and I know how they are. And when you get in the heat of a moment, the heat of a battle, you say things, do things that you might not normally say. I know what they both want. They both want to win. They both want to be the best tag team wrestlers ever. They want to carry the belts proud, and they have one goal in mind, and that's to beat anyone that comes their way.
For you, and if you take a look at all the athletes in the United States, probably the most demanding schedule is that of a pro wrestler. How are you handling that right now?
Well, it's different. It's a totally different discipline. In football, I had a week off if I had any injuries. You had a week to get ready for your opponents. Here, if you get banged up, you're wrestling every night. You're going through airports, hotels, rental cars, trying to get in four or five meals a day, trying to get in your workouts, and you're trying to think about your opponent for that night. You can't think about your wins and losses or celebrate them. You got to think about that opponent just the next day. It's totally different, but with a good discipline, good routine, you can do it.
Well, they say in sports, attitude is half the battle, so you're halfway there. Continue. Good luck to you, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Eric Watts on WCW Up Close.
What did you think about this, Crockett? I got a lot of thoughts.
I didn't think it was okay. The thing is, to me, like right off the bat, he is supposed to be a baby face, but he's got like this like resting dick face.
Yeah.
Where he is just like look at him, look at him from the beginning, just looking like,
yeah,
just upset for no particular reason. I mean, the messaging is good, a little bland in the delivery, but I like the whole package overall.
Harper, thoughts?
Dude, that shirt, bro. What the fuck?
That's a Kenny,
Kramer special.
That's a Kenny's Key West special right there.
Yeah, for real. It's like you can't see his body. It's like he's sticking his head out of something.
Oh man!
It's like we're in the like the Missy Elliott trash bag. No shape to it whatsoever.
And that pattern looks like the pattern in like a the floor of a Chuck E. Cheese or something.
It's because I was gonna say like a casino rug, yeah.
Right. And they're like that to hide stains.
Right. Yeah.
That's what his shirt looks like.
Yeah.
You can't see his arms? What the fuck, bro?
Man, I think the intent here is good. Like, they try to tell the backstory about his athletic background, and, like, that's a shoot. He was a D1 QB against Ohio State, Florida State. Like, he played in some big time. Like, he played big-time college football in big-time games. Like, so it's legit. I mean, he's an athlete, man. Like, the thing that I feel bad for him here is it's too much. Like, you can't – I get that he was a really good – you know, he's a legitimate D1 athlete, but, man – he doesn't come off the right way in that promo. And it's not, it's not his fault, because they set him up for failure by trying to give him too much too soon.
Yeah. Like, I think it's better to put him at the underneath matches, just instead of building him up. Cause then the resentment builds, not a, you know, the locker room and just the people watching, like, this is the boss's son. If they just put him out there underneath matches, winning some, losing some, and kind of naturally progress, that probably he wouldn't have had as much backlash as he did.
Yeah, and according to Arn, from what he said on his show, and I reference Arn a lot because I've listened, you know, he was there during his era and he's been pretty vocal. He didn't, like, from the way he says it, he didn't, like, say that guys took it out on Watts. Eric Watts, that is, but they definitely were not happy based on, you know, watching this happen in front of their face. And, you know, you got guys getting asked to take pay cuts and this and that. And then, you know, here's daddy's boy, you know, getting the hookup. It's like, hey, what the hell, dude? You know, like, that's kind of like the attitude that, you know, permeated through the dressing room. So Arn specifically said, he was like, I didn't take it out on Watts, but, you know, there were a lot of guys who were not happy whatsoever. And I think Eric Watts needed to be coached here. Like, he needed, I mean, y'all nailed it. The way he's just sitting and he's got this mean mug on his face, it doesn't exude baby face ready to take on all comers at all.
They should have brought him in how they did Marcus Bagwell. Sir, and Mr. Yeah. Ross, and you know, I'm glad to be here. I got to prove what I'm worth.
If you remember when Dustin first came in, Dustin was not like given like a push or nothing like that. He just was a guy. It's been years now. Well, he went away, came back, but it's been years now. It was years before Dustin like won a major title on TBS. So you just, and I'm not saying, you know, Eric's going to have a major title tomorrow, but it just doesn't come off good the way they position him. And it gets worse because he's just beating people. He had a bunch of, he was training like obviously at the training facility, and like his first handful of matches were with, Buddy Lee Parker. He was working with Canterbury right there. So like he had like numerous matches with them on like the house shows and stuff. But man, he's like basically put on TV just not that many matches in from what I can see from the records. And I don't know, man, it sucks. Cause he was really put in a position to fail. Like, you just don't do that to somebody. Yeah. I mean, this is the second largest promotion at that point. Right. And you're just going to just put this guy on TV just to fall flat on his face. Come on, man. He doesn't have the charisma at this point. Like, it's just, why would you do this to your kid? Oh, because you're the almighty Bill Watts. Like, I blame Watts more than Bill more than anything. It certainly had nothing to do with Eric.
No, yeah. It's just the push, the nature of the push, and how they're kind of introducing him is what's kind of burying him.
Yeah. But we continue. We then, after that, we go to a Cactus Jack, not promo, but Cactus Jack is interviewing Jake Roberts. Jake... JR is afraid of snakes in this promo. Let me get to it, but Crockett, give me some cover. Do you have anything from this before I hit play?
No, this is Jake's like third promo on the show. They're really getting their money's worth before he
right.
He skedaddles. But
get your shit in while he's still here and he's fucking walking.
So yeah, the whole show there, Jim Ross is like, you know, I'll interview Jake, but if he's got the snake, I won't be there. So he was teasing that all show. And then he says, oh, I found out that he's bringing the snake, so I won't be doing the interview. He can interview himself. And then Cactus ends up doing the interview.
So here it is.
My guest, Jake the Snake Roberts. And Jake, I guess we ought to thank our gutless host, Jim Ross. You see, he's a little bit afraid of your albino cobra.
And rightfully so, Cactus.
Oh, that's right, Jake. We all are, myself included, but it's all right. You see, you understand me. We're tight, and I trust you. But, Jake, let's talk about Halloween Havoc. Let's talk about the wheel. All those great matches, Jake, but the one that's got me intrigued right there, Spinner's Choice.
Spinner's Choice. That means anything that I can come up with in this evil mind of mine, that's exactly what it's going to be. But you look at everything else up there, Cactus. You look at First Blood, you look at the Coal Miner's Glove, Texas Deathmatch, Prince of Darkness, Texas Bull Rope, Russian Chain Match, Dog Collar, I Quit. Now, that would really be nice to hear Sting say, I quit.
I'd like to hear those words.
That would be a really nice thing. Any one of those matches, Sting, can finish your career. But let me tell you something. If it comes down to Spinner's Choice, you can bet your life that you're going to see something like this. Maybe something a little bigger. Maybe something a little wilder. But yes, you will see this snake, and you and I both know when you play with snakes, sooner or later, you're gonna get bitten. Yes, you will be bitten, Sting.
Jake, let me spin the wheel.
You spin the wheel, brother, you make the deal.
I wanna make a deal.
Pull, baby, pull. There we go.
Fans, let's go back up to Rhubarb Jones. My gosh.
Oh, God.
The snake. Yes, Harper, the snake pulled the foam off of the microphone.
That was a good visual.
Yeah, Cactus fed the mic to the snake, and the snake.
The whole time that's going on, I am watching Cactus get way too close to that snake.
Bruh, for real. It's kind of defamed because he don't give a fuck. It's a python from fucking Petco.
Right. Look how close he is.
Yeah.
He's like all up on it. And every now and then Cactus like looks at it and is like, okay, am I too close? But the whole time I'm thinking, dude, that snake's a shoot, bro. The snake ain't in on the work.
And he's gnawing on Jake's glove the entire time he's holding. Like, he could just reach out and gnaw on Cactus's hand just as easy.
Right. It just reminds me of like shoot interviews that I've heard where they talk about when You ever see, I think they showed it recently again on A&E Biography when they were talking about Jake and Savage and how Savage was like, oh no, brother, you're gonna hold on, you're gonna make it, you're gonna let the snake bite you first. And he made the snake bite Jake first in the back to make sure it didn't have venom in it. And then they get out there and the snake latches on to Randy's arm, right? And all the guys are talking that they're interviewing are like, bro, that snake ain't in on it. The snake don't realize it's not a work, so a snake's not letting go. And so that's what I'm thinking right here. A little bit different because they're not in the middle of a match, but still, I'm like, Cactus, your arm is kind of close to that goddamn snake. You want to step back a little bit? Like, I'm with JR. Dude, there's a lot of stupid stuff I did when it came to wrestling. Dealing with live animals was not one of them.
Yeah, fuck that.
Because that animal does not know this is a work. It was like, Harper, remember on Smoky Mountain Wrestling when the Steiners came in with Arnold the Pitbull?
And the
Pitbull charges after Dr. Tom. And I'm like, hell, I love dogs, but I'm like, hell no. That dog is not in on the work. So, yeah. Oh, man. Mildly entertaining, but still, it was a good visual, though. That
I wonder where they got those snakes from. They had to get them from like a fucking handler, huh?
Hey, I don't know if he traveled with it,
right?
I don't know if it's his or if he.
Well, Jake traveled with it in WWF. He said, because he tells that story about how the British Bulldogs would like throw like cigarette butts in there with the snake. You know, that was still hot and like to piss the snake off. And Jake pulled the rib. Jake pulled the rib on the British Bulldogs one night because they had Matilda. This is so foul. Matilda's in the hotel room and Jake loads Matilda up with like chili dogs. And the dog, it gave the dog like ridiculous diarrhea. And Jake is in the room like right next door and the bulldog, the British Bulldogs come back from like a night of drinking. They walk in and Jake's awake and Jake can hear like Davy Boy, like, what the fuck? The fucking dog shit all over the place, man. The fucking dog. Like, and Jake claims like, he's like, he could hear the dog yelping cause the dog's got a poo and the dog just sprayed diarrhea all over the walls of the hotel. Like, so, and I say that because Jake had the snake in the bag, and that's why that was his way of getting back at the Bulldogs for pissing off his snake and throwing the cigarette butts in the bag. He kind of screwed over Matilda with chili dogs. That's foul. Anyway, all right. Any other thoughts on Jake and the snake there and Cactus?
Well, they're still putting over the spinner's choice, so it's got to be, that's probably what's going to come up in Halloween Havoc, I imagine.
Spinner's choice. The Spinner Choice Awards, brought to you by Pepsi.
All right, man. The next match we go to is DDP and Vinnie Vegas, the Vegas Connection, versus Gary Jackson and Joey Maggs. And Gary Jackson is half pint's height. Harper, look at it. I want you to see this dude. Look at him on the ring apron. Not Joey Maggs, who's in the ring. Look how short he is. He's leaning up against the top
rope. Yeah.
It's on his tippy toes.
He's on his tippy toes. That's a short fella. Anyway. Fuck. What's wrong?
Nothing.
He is short,
man.
Deep State Harper just entered the chat.
Ray.
It's great. Crockett, thoughts on this match?
Here they go with the arm again. Fuck. Jesus Christ. Pay attention. with the arm. You just saw 10 straight minutes of it with Z-Man. Holy shit. There's a lot of that. This little moment here at 51:38, I want to get your opinion on. This is a little awkwardness when the Vin Man goes to tag out.
Yeah, what was that like, about?
It must be like, even back then, DDP must have been scripting all of his matches move for move on a notebook. Right. He's like, no, this isn't where you tag out, bro.
Right. It's not here yet.
Yeah.
And then he makes a tag, and Nick Patrick's like, no, not yet. I don't know, that was weird.
Yeah, because he tagged him from the apron. You're supposed to be in the ring to make the tag. So.
Oh, you see, look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like DDP wanted him to. You saw what happened when he did make the tag. It was because the guy was draped over the top rope, and it was like DDP wanted him in that position when he got tagged in, so he could do that sweet new move right there that he's about to do.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just learned this one last week.
Right, right. Do you know DDP and Eric Watts are like good friends?
Right now?
Yeah, like to this day.
Well, good for them.
I think that that's his daughter's.
What do you want me to do about it?
Nothing. I think that's his daughter's like godfather.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
All right.
He probably gets him season tickets to the Louisville Cardinal games.
His daughter is Eric Watts' daughter plays for Navy. Basketball.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. There you go. Oh,
she's in her second year. She's a D1 athlete herself. So, all right. Crockett, any other thoughts on this match?
No. I mean, it was a match. But they said as they were going to the finish, they said they were going to do a promo. And that was the most excited I've been this entire episode. Going to hear from Vinny Vegas, hopefully.
Yeah, let's go to it. It's coming up right here. Just listen
Charlie
to
Ranchers.
Just listen to DDP here too. Here's the promo with DDP and Vinny Vegas.
Tomorrow night here on the TBS on the main event, it's going to be Diamond Dallas Page one-on-one with one of the leading contenders for Rookie of the Year honors, Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
Well, let me tell you something, JR. There is a lot of talk here in WCW about Marcus Alexander Bagwell being the Rookie of the Year. I don't get it. You get it, Vinny?
Nothing. He got nothing. He's a punk kid, don't know nothing.
I tell you what, I'm even going to give him a little bit. I'm going to say, yeah, you've come a long way, Bagwell. But if there's a Rookie of the Year, you're looking at him right here. 6'5", 254 pounds of chiseled stone and B-A-double-D. Good God, bad to the bone. I'm the Rookie of the Year. Right, Vin Man?
Absolutely, Jim.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that matchup tomorrow in the main event, 6:05 Eastern Time, and we'll have more on WC.
Okay. Crockett, thoughts?
Like I says, right, Vin Man? And he responds, absolutely, Jim.
Oh, boy. I don't hate the combo of them, but... That might not be their best promo work. No. You notice Vinny Vegas's like that accent is kind of fading a little. It's not as good as it once was. This is, I guess, thank the word God. I'm looking for.
Yeah. Was it good ever?
I mean, it was absurd. I don't know if I don't want to call it good, but it was absurd. How's that sound?
Yeah, it's still pretty absurd to me.
All right. Any thoughts after that? They do have a Cactus Jack promo. Did you have anything from this, Crockett?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, Rude is going to battle Simmons almost nightly before Havoc. And then, so Cactus is kind of talking about, you know, him and Rude being best friends. And Cactus says that, you know, he's softening up Simmons for Barbarian. With what's going to happen, like basically just kind of leading up to, I don't know, just kind of trying to make it sound like everything that Simmons is going through right now is going to help out Barbarian leading up to Halloween Havoc. It's kind of a weird promo. If it didn't make sense what I said, that's because it's like very weird. At the end, JR says Cactus is also advising Tony Atlas. So there's that. From there, we go to a match with Tony Atlas and the Barbarian versus Jeff Daniels and T.A. McCoy. Jeff Daniels, if you listen to our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast, he was the guy who Kevin Sullivan hit in the back of the head with a wooden chair and split his ass wide open.
Oh, I remember you.
Yeah. Kevin Sullivan hit him with a wooden chair and clocked the shit out of him and opened him up. Like, it wasn't that he was bleeding terrible, but he had a gash in the back of his head from this wooden chair. So that is Jeff Daniels. And every time I see Jeff Daniels, I always make a note of it whenever he's on our TV and he's anything we're reviewing. Crockett, I'll throw to you. Anything from this?
So Bill Watts lost Butch Reed, and he said, give me another black guy.
Yeah.
And there's Tony Atlas. I just understand. Barbarian's going for your top singles title, and he's in a random tag team match on this show. Why is it Tony Atlas, first of all, and why is he in this tag match when he is going for the richest prize in the game in a couple weeks of Halloween Havoc? I don't understand it.
It's like they're just filling time at this point.
I guess he picked Tony Atlas because he answered the phone.
But it is kind of what he did. Like, he was like, all right, Butch Reed, I need another black guy. Like,
this had to be right after he did that African gimmick.
That was 91, I think. Yeah. He did that for a while, then went back to the independents, did IWCCW in the Northeast with the Savoldis, and then he ended up back here.
Crockett, you've done shows with Atlas, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Tony Atlas. Yeah. We've talked about the Subway story a number of times, I think, on the podcast.
Subway story. I love the story that Brian Fury would tell when they were at Subway and Tony Atlas is leaning over the Subway case and he's kind of, you know, watching the sandwich being made and he's not really saying nothing. And Fury says that Atlas is looking down at the girl's feet making the sandwich and he goes,
oh my God.
Hold on. And Tony Atlas goes, six. And she's like, excuse me? And Atlas goes, size six. Like, he could just look at a woman's feet and she and he immediately knows the size.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. She's like, yes.
Yes, that's correct. Six.
Wow. Here's you work at Foot Locker? No.
I hear Tony's a really nice guy. Like, from everybody who I know that's worked with him before and met him, he's like a really good dude.
Has some proclivities.
He's just got some weird stuff, dude. Anytime you don't mind when somebody takes the sole of their shoe and puts it on your face, that's odd.
I don't get it, bro. I just don't get it.
Hopper, go off on your tirade like you did before. One day, Hopper's talking about the foot thing. He's like, bro, I don't understand the foot thing. No. I mean, and I was like, well, Hopper, but you eat ass. You know, circle, circle, dot, dot. He goes, yeah, but she's not dragging her asshole across the floor at Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, bro. I mean, you can't fuck a foot, bro. You know what I'm saying? A foot's a foot, bro.
Though we try.
Yeah, God, I mean, what the fuck you gonna do with it? Oh, look at those toes. What the fuck?
Never heard of the foot job?
Yeah, but I mean, I've heard of the fucking too.
There was a new listener of the week if they made it this far in.
Because, I mean, that's what the vagina's there for. I mean, they don't fucking walk in there fucking vaginas. They don't do like a split, like crawling around the floor.
Jesus. All right. Tony
Snail Allison. Trail.
A snail trail. Yeah, like Sonny did on Tommy Noe's dining room table. Remember when we had that discussion during the SMW shows?
That's, come on.
Sonny was sitting on his living room or dining room, sitting on a table. He's like, yeah, we still got that dining room table. The dining room looks just like that to this day. I'm like, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Atlas and Barbarian win. Atlas put Daniels in a full Nelson, and Atlas Barbarian, like I said, just get the win. From there, here it goes, Crockett. I know you got some thoughts on this. We go to Steve Austin and Brian Pillman versus Dustin Rhodes and Brad Armstrong. So it's main event time. Dustin comes out without Barry. Armstrong is his partner. Dustin has both tag belts. JR says, I don't know what the deal is, but Wyndham isn't here. Maybe he got caught up and had transportation issues. And the reason I pointed earlier to Barry kind of looking at Dustin accepting the challenge, it kind of leads into the story here where Barry's not here. And is it because he's mad? What's the deal? Anyway, we'll get to Barry in a second when we get to the finish.
Guys with Dustin and Wyndham, and you can kind of hear Wyndham kind of giving Dustin an earful about accepting that challenge when he's kind of like he's the veteran of the team or whatnot. So they kind of snuck in the fact that Barry is pissed off. You don't, if you're not paying attention, you don't know what the hell's going on. And you watch right. The end of this match and you kind of still won't know what the hell's going on.
That was really weird how during the Eric Watts segment, they showed that clip. He was talking about Barry in that clip, but it was really weird how they showed Barry, you know, telling him at that point, you know, hey, what are you doing just accepting challenges like that? Like, it was a weird place to put it. Like, all they had to do was put it in there earlier. We didn't need to see it right there. But, yeah, so they did try to clarify, but you really had to be paying close attention. And I don't know. It just was weird.
Oh, here we go. Stop. Pause.
Oh, God.
Hold up. Let me go back.
Jesus Christ. Go back, Mike.
I'm coming. It's. I rewinded.
Holy shit.
The rat back.
Oh, my God. Okay, the top looks like the cast of Designing Women, and then the bottom looks like Good Times.
He's not wrong.
That's Mr. Bookman down there in the bottom.
Yeah,
the bottom
for real, bro.
He's not wrong. The first thing I thought when I saw the woman at the top right was, she looks like Della Burke.
She's a big fucking broad too, bro.
Jesus.
And she's got those shoulder pads. She's like Vader.
I thought you were going to say Brian Urlacher.
No way. The fucking Road Warriors, bro. Look how big those shoulder pads are.
I see them. It's hard to miss.
Covering big shoulders.
They're probably made by Rollins.
Fuck. I didn't make a note. Was JR saying something when they showed them on commentary?
I don't think so.
And that chick on the fucking left looks like a prostitute Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life.
Wow.
Doesn't she?
I'm about to get back to it. At least I was trying to get back to it. Yeah, kind of. Like a younger version, like she's working the streets or something. Yeah.
Oh, Joe.
Tootie's sitting in front of her.
It's an interesting group, man.
Dude, for real, bro. And I mean, the one like in the middle, she's like Kenny Key West, bona fide, all the way live right there. The middle one, bro.
Yeah.
She's straight, dude.
You know they're waiting by the dressing room door after the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying.
On the right, she's going to have to wait in the fucking car.
Every time they go to a scene like this, though, it's always they're there with somebody, even if they don't say it. Because, like,
Jesus Christ.
A few months back, they were shooting JR's kids or whatever. I'm just saying, they might not say who they are, but the reason the cameraman is doing that is for a reason. He didn't just randomly find these three women with enough Aquanet in their hair to, you know, blaze up the Superdome and set it on fire. Bruh. That is not a random shot.
That one on the right, dude. She's huge.
You'd still spit
no,
at it.
Fuck
yeah,
you
would.
Dude.
Yeah, you would. Get
she looks like an offensive lineman for like the Wisconsin or something.
Oh, come on, Harper. If I got enough, what's that, Rolling Rock in you, would be like, hey, no baby, what's going on, girl?
Negative.
She probably, she probably played with Eric Watts.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, one thing we didn't say, Eric Watts is a big old. Lohabo. Eric Watts is a big old boy. He's like 6'6".
Yeah, well.
You know, legit athlete,
that
too.
That chick could give him a fucking run for his money.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's go to the match. Let me go to you. What do you have, Crockett, from this thing?
I have that they go and start working the motherfucking arm again. Just the entire show, just working the arm. Cut the shit. Holy fuck. Oh, and by the way, there's something else that bugged me this whole show, too. Every time they hit the ropes creaked. There was like a squeak, a creaking, sounded like, you know, the Tin Man in the Wood Forest. Every time they hit the fucking ropes. That annoyed me as well.
Think those cables weren't tight enough underneath the ring?
Perhaps something like that. It was just fucking terrible. It sounded awful, but you know, Austin just amazing for he's probably like 3 years in at this point. But I mean, it was a well worked match. The Hollywood Blondes weren't the blondes yet, but they'd get there. I guess we can go to the finish from there.
There's you know the odd part? They're still not going to be the blondes for, like, the actual Hollywood Blondes for a while. Like, this is October. It's, like, well into January, maybe, like they start, like, officially putting them together in, like, January. But they don't become, like, the blondes until, like, maybe February, where, like, they officially use the name. Like, I don't remember that name. Like, they were tagging for a little while before they actually went with that name. This is very,
yeah, they finally
very,
bought the gear and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, they're like people, if just in a snapshot, like, if you're watching this right now, you're like, all right, well, here comes Pillman and Austin. Nah, not quite. Like, it's not quite. Matter of fact, it's going to be Pillman tagging with Barry for like a little bit. It's very odd. It's very odd what they
that's
do.
Weird.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, as I rewatch this, and then once you remember how it plays out, they were calling audibles. They had to be calling audibles like nonstop. Just nonstop audibles because of all the shenanigans going on backstage and people being mad at Watts and, you know, and this one leaving and all this stuff. They had to be. So anyway, I'll go to the finish now. There's a hot tag to Armstrong, and the crowd is going pretty crazy as Brad is just in there wheeling and dealing. Brad looked great.
Yeah.
Wyndham comes out, and he starts arguing with Dustin. And then they start slapping the hell out of each other on the outside as they have a few words. Meanwhile, as they're arguing on the outside, Dustin and Barry... There they go. They slapped each other. If you're watching on Patreon, tinyurl.com/patreonbcc, Armstrong is in there and he's just getting lit up in the ring. Dustin finally gets in the ring and helps Armstrong. Wyndham then gets in the ring to help battle Austin and Pillman. Very odd situation. They just won the belts, but Wyndham isn't happy. So stay tuned, I guess. We've kind of talked about the problems and what's going on here. But if this is, you know, the crowd's into it, but there's no continuity here, and it's all because of the exits that have left the building. And that was my thoughts, but I kind of mentioned that earlier. Crockett, any other thoughts on the finish?
Yeah, like I said earlier, if you weren't paying attention, like I didn't notice the first time that that clip was playing during Eric Watts' deal, but this is just 0 to 100. All of a sudden, Wyndham comes out, rips Dustin off the apron by the trunks. Dustin pushes him. He slaps Dustin. It's like, what has gotten into this guy? These guys just won the tag team titles 7 days ago on TV. And just let it fucking breathe for a second, but crying out loud.
They couldn't let it breathe because they didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just scrambling.
And that's the other part. If Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes are baby faces. Why would Barry get so upset that Dustin accepted the challenge? You're right. A baby face. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. It was just way too much. Let's cover our asses. We're messing this up, so we got to do something. It's just really just odd, but it is what it is at this point. So I'm with you. I'm with both of y'all. That's how they go off air at that point. They, you know, stay tuned. We'll see what happens, but it definitely looks like there's trouble in paradise between the just newly crowned, as of 7 days ago, NWA and WCW World Tag Team Champions. On that note, we need to rate it, hand out the Rolex. Before we do so, I want to remind you the only way to get access to our Halloween Havoc pay-per-view review is by going to Patreon at tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. That is tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. Not only will you get Halloween Havoc, but you'll get all of our Patreon shows, all of the WCW pay-per-views, Clash of the Champions, NWA Power shows with Sparks and the Little Fella, ECW shows with Mike Prue, JV, and Rick Beebe, all available on Patreon, tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. Crockett, you know the drill. You're the guest, so I'm going to throw it to you to rate it first. What are you giving this one?
Man, I mean, Jesus. I'm just sad that I missed the Sting match because the preemption, because guaranteed there was no arm bar in the Sting match. fuck. C. I'll give it a C.
Crockett has cursed more in this episode than I think any other episode I've ever done with him. He is pissed off about all of the arm bars and the lack of continuity in the booking.
Jesus Christ. We got Pillman who turned on a dime like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now he's a dastardly cheating heel. Now Barry Windham comes out of nowhere and starts tearing things apart. What is going on?
I'm going to give it a C. C+. Let me give it a C+. Harper, what do you?
C+. Fuck that. A C.
All right.
Hey, I'm sorry. Lucky they got that.
All right. Well, then this is the tough one. Who gets the Rolex?
Jake Crockett? Snake.
Jake Snake. Are we talking about his legitimate reptile or his? Well, what?
Grow up.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is why we don't have sponsors, and this is why we run off new listeners. Okay, so Jake's... Are you serious, Hopper? Are you going to give it to Jake Snake?
I fuck it, man. Give it to his snake.
Okay.
His snake bit off the fucking foam thing off the mic.
That was a great visual.
Yeah.
Okay, Crockett, who are you giving yours to?
Jesus Christ, I'm trying to scan here and find something. I'll give it to... Vinny Vegas. Why not?
All right.
Slim you know Pickens.
Who worked a good match? Brad Armstrong. I'm going to give it to Brad because poor Brad was just thrown into this bull crap. Like, you think about Brad. Brad's in the back. He's like, and Watts is trying to figure out what he's doing. Oh, well, you know, we're going to turn Barry. Dustin, I need a tag partner then. Well, what are we doing? Brad, you worked for me in Mid-South. Go out there and go do your thing. Okay. And you know, Brad.
Spider-Man outfit, right?
Right. Yeah. Brad ain't going to argue. He's okay, brother, whatever you want me to do. I'm getting my paycheck. I mean, you know, that's it. That's how it went down. Pretty crazy. So, I'm going to give mine to Brad Armstrong. On that note, Crockett, thanks for joining us for the last 2 weeks. We appreciate you filling in. Doc won't be here next week. At least we don't think so at this time. So I wanted you to do next week, but I guess we'll have to see if we can get another fill-in or maybe we'll...
That's great. So like everyone can just come and go when they please?
No, not everyone.
This is like 1993 WCW. I'm going to fucking Japan.
Are you really now? Are you now?
Yeah, me and Doc.
Oh God, that ought to be great. That ought to be real good. I'd love to see that. But Crockett, what do you got to plug before you get out of here and ride off into the sunset?
Nothing. There's nothing going on.
That's all. Wow.
Hey, we are still gonna do Beach Brawl. When we
get I got some new information too. Thanks to the Dark Side of the Ring podcast that they're doing. They just did a Herb Abrams episode, and there's some new stuff, new details about certain things.
So kind of funny. So we do need to get that scheduled to do. That'll be on Patreon, tinyurl.com/Patreon, BTT. Crockett and I, we talked about it when we did, Crockett and I revisited the Herb Abrams episode of Dark Side of the Ring. So we said that we would definitely do Beach Brawl and what was the other one?
Blackjack Brawl.
Black what? Was it? What? Yeah, one of them was a pay-per-view and one of them was just a show.
Oh.
That they had in Vegas at the MGM Grand in front of 600 people.
Oh, God, bro.
Yeah, oh, God is right. So we are going to be reviewing that on Patreon as soon as we can get that scheduled. I know Crockett's got a little time away with his family coming up and whatnot, so we'll see when we can get it done. But that ought to be fun. We talked about it a few weeks ago, but we'll do it.
Great.
He's like Doc.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
What's Doc doing now? Is he currently drunk?
I don't know. He's messaging Harper and I this whole show. I had to silence my phone because it wouldn't stop going off. And I'm like, dude, don't you have a family you're on vacation with? Why don't you go spend some time with them? Jesus Christ. I mean, fuck. Drive me up a wall. He's DMing me all day. I'm like, dude, you know I'm working. You're on vacation. Go make memories, as Harper likes to say. Let me tell you something. Having reading glasses has made my phone even more of an irritant than it used to be. Because now I got to put the reading glasses on to see the fucking phone. And if you're trying to watch something on TV, that is just one more obstacle that gets in the way of looking down at your phone. Oh, man.
Make it bigger?
Bruh. Eyes can't focus on something right in front of you.
Get yourself a jitterbug.
A jitterbug.
Yeah.
Thanks, Crockett. I'm not that old. But anyway, I think we're going to get out of here now. What a show. What a bad episode of Saturday Night. Ugh. This one was nauseatingly bad at times. Thanks to nothing but arm bars. But Crockett, thanks again for the last 2 weeks. We'll be in touch. Harper, if you don't have anything, hit the tagline. Let's roll.
Fuck it, biatch.